Certainly thankful to be here, thankful for the songs that have been sung, thankful for the spirit that's been sung with. I hope you're praying for the services. I know I have been praying this week. I hope you've been praying. I hope the Lord hears. Trust that the Lord will hear our prayers and bless us today as we continue in His service, but we need to keep praying for His presence. Before we go to the Lord publicly in prayer, what prayer requests or updates need to be brought before the mind of the church this morning? Good to see everyone, and I know that there are many sicknesses and trials that everyone's going through, so we just want to keep that in mind. If there's nothing else specifically that needs to be brought up, we will ask Brother Tanner to lead us in prayer as we go into the preaching service.
Dear God, gracious Heavenly Father, we love for this one so thankful we have just not many more. As we sit this morning, try to glorify your name, to worship your name. We ask, Lord, that you rid our minds of all the worldly things that often plague us and bring us down. Help us to fix our eyes on you this morning. Lord, we ask that this dear love that comes before us, this blessed Brother Howard, with the message that would be uplifting to your people. Lord, that you know what we stand in need of. Please give him the words to say, help him to rob his tongue and to clear his thoughts, Lord, to be a calm mind and know that you are our risen Savior and our God and things that are. Lord, we ask that you be with all those that are sick and afflicted, those that cannot be here with us this morning. Please be with them and help them in our mighty way, help them to feel your presence. Lord, we're so thankful for the help that you've given us. Rejoice in the people that we've missed and that are here with us today. Please be with those that are breathing and are walking. Lord, we ask that you come quickly and bring us home so that we have to suffer here no more, but more about your name and that perfect harmony. We ask, Lord, that you forgive us for our many sins and shortcomings. Help us to walk with you. Just thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer. I'm here because I love the Lord Jesus. I want to worship Him and glorify Him this morning. I want to be to the praise of His glory. I hope that you're feeling the same. I know you've been praying for me, for us. But I stand completely in need of the Holy Spirit this morning. I came here, when I come here, I want to be fed. I want to be fed with spiritual food. I come here expecting and hoping the Lord blesses us with spiritual food. Even if, as I'm standing here, the Lord can bless me to be fed on His Spirit, from His Spirit, His words and His truth. We want to continue to be praying that He allows us to do that. Certainly, am dependent upon the Holy Spirit to bring good thoughts that I have read, that I have thought about before. If He doesn't bring them back up to my mind, I won't have them. We won't have them. So we are dependent on Him, and we hope that He continues to bless us in our attempt to worship Him. And if He does, then the preaching will be in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And only God can do that. And that's who we're dependent upon. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to answer it honestly in your heart, not out loud, but answer it, and I'm going to ask you, do you love me? Do you love me? And when I say that I love the Lord Jesus Christ, does that make you love me more, or does that make you want to love me more? Or less. And I want to say to you, if you feel that that's true, that you do love me, that you do love the brothers and sisters that are here, and you love them more because they love Jesus, and you have a fellowship with them in Jesus Christ's name, then you are a child of God. You are a child of God. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We are told that that's how we know that we are in Jesus Christ. We love Him because He first loved us. 1 John, throughout that book, that letter, is written for our assurance and our comfort, and showing that love is of God. Okay? Love is of God. It's a spiritual gift. Okay? God, all natural gifts are also of God. All right? And spiritual gifts are of God. But only those that have spiritual life, only those that have been born of His Spirit, have that spiritual gifts. Okay? And we are assured and guaranteed that when we love the Lord, and we know we love the Lord because we love the brethren, when we love the brethren, we know that we are in Christ. Right? That's our assurance. Those spiritual gifts are from God. I don't want you to struggle or worry about that, okay? There's an inheritance that we have, that Jesus is going to come back. He's going to judge the world, and He's going to take us with Him to heaven to be with the Lord, be with God, our Maker, in eternity, free from sin, pain, sorrow, loneliness, free from all those things. And He's going to bring us to be with Him, and we have that gift by inheritance, right? It belongs to us because of the adoption that Jesus Christ has performed. He's adopted us, right? We belong to Him. And we know that because we love Him and we love the brethren. And the Lord has given us the gospel, His gospel, so that we don't worry about our inheritance, right? That we're not fretting over the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. That we're not fretting over His love to us, okay? I try not to leave any doubt in my children's minds that I love them. I try not to let them wonder when I leave whether I'm going to be back or not. Do you? If you're a halfway decent parent, you don't let them have to wonder if you love them or if you're going to be back, etc. All right, the Lord hasn't done that. If we're in His Word, if we're listening to true gospel preaching, we're not going to wonder if the Lord loves us. We're not going to wonder if anything can separate us from the love of God, right? Nothing can. Our lives are hid in the palm of His hand, right? We're in the Father's hands, and no man can pluck us out of the Father's hands because no one is strong enough. No one is powerful enough to pluck us out of His Father's hands, right? He loves us. He's not going to give us away, no matter what we do or what other men may do, no matter what demons or any devils will do. The Lord has us, has our life in His hands. And that's something that really, when you get down to it, I think is unique among the religious world. That's why that I would not even consider going to any of these other churches in the world. That's why I drive to North Little Rock or wherever, or Shiloh or Old Union or wherever we're going. That's why I drive there to go, because the truth is preached here. I trust. And I'm going to put my confidence in that trust because it's founded on the Word of God. There's nothing stronger, nothing more sure that I can rest my soul, my heart on, than the words of God. The scripture that's been on my mind is in Ephesians 1. The things that have been, where he says we have obtained an inheritance. Let's start at the beginning of the sentence in verse 7 of Ephesians 1. In whom, we're talking about Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Here the apostle is telling us that we have an inheritance, something that belongs to us, that's been given to us by God. God the Father. This inheritance belongs to us according to his will, the good pleasure of his will, okay? He predestinated us, okay? He predetermined our destination, that we're going to be with him in life to live evermore. And he worked, he did that after his work, right? He worked that after the counsel of his own will, okay? It took his sacrifice. It took his blood, right? And it takes the Holy Spirit's regeneration in our hearts. It takes all that work. And finally, Jesus coming back and gathering us up together, taking our bodies and reuniting the bodies with the spirits of those that have gone on before, so that we're whole and we'll be changed and we'll go back to heaven in immortal glory. That took work that God did. And he worked all that according to his purpose, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. I believe that last phrase there, who first trusted in Christ, I believe that's talking about the Father, God the Father, trusting in Christ. When in eternity, before the foundation of the world, he gave us to Christ. He made Jesus Christ our surety. Right, that he would ensure that we, that our works, that our righteousness would be, that we would be righteous and holy and without blame before him in love. Jesus was our surety. He didn't trust in us to be righteous. Right, righteousness is a requirement for us to be before him in love. For us to live, we have to be righteous. And God the Father had a purpose for us to be holy and righteous. He trusted in Christ that we would be righteous. He did that before the foundation of the world. So this inheritance is ours by the working of God. Now, in whom ye also trusted. Okay, now we're talking about our trust. Us putting our trust also in Christ. Okay? That now it's time for us to put our trust in Christ. The Father did it first, and now we get to. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. We have a sealing of the Holy Spirit. In whom, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Having presented that before your mind, let's go to Romans 8. I want to dwell a little bit this morning, if the Lord is our helper, for the rest of our time, to think about the Holy Spirit and his interaction with us that we have. That's a gift that God has sent us and that we have. And here in Ephesians 1, it says that he is a seal. He is an earnest of our inheritance. Okay? He has presented before our mind the inheritance that we have. And then there's a future promise that he's given us. And we also have a sealing of the Holy Spirit that is an earnest of our inheritance. But we get that after we trust, after we believe, okay? This is after we've heard the gospel. This is when we have believed the gospel. And this is when we trust in Jesus Christ, which is what the gospel calls for us to do. The gospel calls for us to trust in Jesus Christ for our inheritance. Romans 8, I want to first say that this sealing is not the regeneration. This is not our, that's not how we get our eternal life, okay? This is something that happens after we already have eternal life, okay? In order for us to believe the gospel, in order for us to trust in Jesus, our Savior, we have to have faith, right? Just like you have to have love, you have to have the Holy Spirit to love me, to love the brethren. Yeah, you have to have faith to believe, okay? And both of those things, love and faith, are both fruits of the Spirit, okay? So the Holy Spirit has already quickened you from your death and sins. He's already quickened you from the punishment of sin in order for you to exercise your faith by believing the gospel. We remember in 1 Corinthians that to the natural man, the gospel is foolishness. Okay, if we present the gospel message, if I do it just as perfectly as I am capable of in this side of heaven, or on that side of heaven, for that matter. Jesus didn't even bother with presenting the gospel to people that were dead in trespasses and sins. If it wasn't his will to regenerate them and speak the life-giving words to them, he didn't present the gospel to them. So so if I were to do that, they would just look at me and say, well, that's foolish, right? They don't feel the need for it. They don't see any wisdom in it. They don't see any power in it. It's just foolishness, weakness to them. In Romans 8, it says in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The mind that we have, that we have inherited from our earthly mother and earthly father, it is enmity against God by nature. It is fallen by the sins of Adam. And Adam all died. And Adam sinned, all died. Death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Right? And with that mind, that carnal mind, we're at enmity against God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, so we have to have the Holy Spirit first before we can trust, before we can believe, and then before we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And he goes on in verse 9 and says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. We that have been quickened, that we that love God and love the brethren, we have the Spirit dwelling in us. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So let's talk about death and life. We believe that death is a separation from God. Right, it is not being able to see the things of God, not being able to experience the things of God. It is being separated and divided from God. With our carnal mind, I will get the image, and I will be, we view death as a non-existence, right, as an annihilation. Okay, but the Bible doesn't teach that there's an annihilation. That we don't get that from the Bible. We get that from our carnal minds, from the world. Right, that's what the devil wants us to believe. Okay, wants to view death as some kind of annihilation, some kind of painless, senseless existence or non-existence, however you want to look at it. We believe that our spirit don't go into annihilation We're non-existence. We exist. We have experience. We either experience the wrath of God or the joys of God. And that wrath of God is what death is. Okay, it is being separated under the judgment, under the punishment of God. And life is being in Christ. Christ is that life. The Word of God is that life, and the life is the light of men. Okay? Dwelling in communion, in fellowship with God is life. Right? Being together with God is life. And in this life, here we have what we struggle against, okay? I said I did want you to struggle with the feelings of your eternal inheritance, right? I don't want you to struggle with knowing where you're going to spend eternity. It's going to be with Jesus Christ. You have assurance of that, right? But that doesn't mean that we just have no struggle. We have no battle, right? We do have a warfare. We have a warfare. It's not against flesh and blood, but it's spiritual wickedness in high places. It's those ideas and those thoughts that lead to actions that separate us from God, right? That divide us from His holiness, that divide us from His righteousness. And if we, who even those of us who have seen the goodness of God, can separate ourselves from communion with God. Okay, we can separate ourselves from that fellowship, from that love that we have of the brethren, from that peace that we find in Jesus Christ. We can separate ourselves from that. We can get caught up in this world. And that's where our struggle is. That's what I do want you to struggle with. But understand that there's help, that there's a call and an invitation of Jesus for those that labor and are heavy laden to come unto Him, and you'll find rest for your souls. All right, so this struggle we have help with, okay? But the consequences are that we can die. We can die in time, in experiential time. We can separate ourselves from the experience of His love, from His truth. We can cut ourselves off from the church. We can forget the gospel. We can forget the good news. We can lose that assurance. But when we call on Jesus, when we remember the gospel, when we are abiding in Him, as He has commanded us to abide in Him, then we have that sealing of the Holy Spirit, that promise, the Holy Spirit of promise. If we, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, we have to retrain our bodies to follow the truth, to follow what God's Word has said, not what we are used to following when we were in our state of sins and we are believing the God of this world. For verse 14 goes on to say, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." If we are led by the Spirit of God, if we do have that calling that tells us what's right and wrong, that convicts us when we're walking wrong, then that's an assurance, that's an evidence, that's a sign that we do belong to God. We do belong to God. There's still a struggle. We don't do everything right. We still suffer. We still doubt. But we are being led. We have the witness of God through His Spirit with us. Because we belong to God. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The Spirit, that's a capital S, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, we may be also glorified together. This Spirit has not come to us to put us into bondage. It has not come to us to say, if you do this, this, and this, if you believe, if you put your trust in Jesus, then you're going to heaven. If you follow these works, if you follow these church rituals, then you will go to heaven. That's bondage. That's the spirit of bondage. That's from the devil. Okay, that's from our adversary, the devil, that spirit. God has not given it. Okay? That's pretty plain here. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. The fruit of that spirit is fear. The fruit of the spirit of bondage is fear. Okay, when we are looking towards our own obedience, towards our own works, and trusting in our, even if we trust that Jesus did His part, we trust that God the Father did His part, we trust the Holy Spirit is doing their part, but their part is really only just to entice us to do the rest. Then we still have to trust in ourselves to finish the job and do the rest, and that causes us to fear. Right? That does not let us rest in Jesus. But we have received the spirit of adoption. That came from this book, right? We get that from this book, that He has adopted us. He's predestined us and unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself. Okay? We believe that inheritance comes through adoption. That's whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When we have doubts, when we have fears, then we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, God. Abba, Father, help me. That's a groaning. Okay, I have doubts, I have fears. I know this is from the devil, this is not from God. I need God to come and assure me of my adoption, of the truth. That's what that spirit does. And the Holy Spirit, God Himself, is bearing witness with our spirits, okay? When we cry out, Abba, Father, we have the Holy Spirit here, bearing itself, bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So when we cry out, Abba, Father, that's because the Spirit is there with us, that we are the children of God. That's how we know who to call out after. Because we have God the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I want to get down to more about the Holy Spirit, but I'll continue reading where we are. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We are waiting for that promise to come. Right, we are believing in the promises of God, and we are groaning, waiting for our bodies to be redeemed. Not just our spirits to be redeemed, but we're waiting for our bodies to be redeemed and to be free from the death and the pain and the suffering that we have in our bodies. We are expecting a future time when these bodies themselves will be free from that death, from that pain. For we are saved by hope. He has described hope here. Right? That is hope. Where does hope come from? What's another fruit of the Spirit, right? Hope is another fruit of the Spirit. And this is how it works. It works in our hearts because it's given us life. It's given us faith. And this hope comes by putting our trust in that faith. Hearing the promises, believing the promises, and we can look forward to this day when this adoption is going to bring about the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? we're hoping that although we're seeing a corrupt and a dying body, we believe through hope that it's going to be a glorified body, that's going to be changed, that's going to live forever without any problems. And we believe that through hope. We are saved by hope. If we saw it, we wouldn't need the hope. But we have hope, and hope comes from the Spirit, from the Holy Spirit, from God Himself. But if we hope for that which we see not, for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The Spirit helps us. Okay? God is here with us, helping us. It helpeth. He helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit, who is with us, is making intercession for us to God. You remember what Jesus did when, after he had finished the work of redemption, it says that he ascended back up to heaven, that he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Jesus Christ, as the Word of God, is not, he hasn't forgotten us. He hasn't just dropped off his work toward us. He is there, ever living to make intercession for us. We have God the Father in heaven, who's the judge of the whole world. He is sitting as a judge, as our Father, and he has the Son of God there, right there with him. And the Son of God is making intercession for us. The Son of God, he came to this earth to bleed and die for us. It was his will that he would take all of those that the Father gave him, that he would go up to the cross and bleed for their sins and put away their sins. And he is there today in heaven making intercession for us, being a witness to God the Father that we have been redeemed, that our sins have been paid for, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Not that God the Father could ever forget, but as for us to be more assured, for us to have a better assurance, that same Jesus who the apostles knew and handled and heard from, he is there reminding or making intercession for us as our Redeemer. We also have an intercessor that is with us down here, going through this low ground of sin and sorrow, the Holy Spirit Himself. He is making intercessions for us when we don't know what to pray for, when we don't know what tomorrow's going to hold, when we don't even know how we're going to deal with the problems we have. The Holy Spirit is making intercessions for us with groanings that can't even be uttered. Right? He is here to witness to us that we are the children of God and to make intercession for us to God in our behalf, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I draw a lot of comfort from knowing that we can't be forgotten by God. We can't be left behind by God. That we have Redeemer in heaven making intercession for us. And we have a Spirit down here making witness for us. And making a witness to us that we belong to God. And that's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Right? That's how we have the love for the brethren. That's how we have a love to be here and to worship Jesus and to try to please Him and to endeavor to obey Him and please Him, because we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, shedding His love abroad in our hearts. That's how we know we belong to Him. That's how we're able to please Him. And He makes intercession for us. And by going, knowing what's in our hearts, knowing what we need, and bringing them up before the throne of God, so that we can't be without the near touch of God. When we are in need, He can come and bless us with what we need. I hope that you trust in that God. I've not prayed the way I should. I don't pray the way I should. I don't view God's presence with me the way I should. And I have heard the impressions of the Holy Spirit of God moving me to do something or to not do something, and I've blown it off. I've done what I want to do anyway. And that's a big crime against myself, because that Holy Spirit is there for my good, for my protection, for me to be walking with God in life. I don't want to be cut off from His communication, from remembrance of His truth that He has given us. But I trust in the Lord for my salvation and for my continuing guidance in this life. And I want to pray to Him for that, so that He helps our infirmities. He heals our sicknesses. He heals the fears and the doubts in our minds by His grace. I'm sorry for the scattered thoughts, but I hope the Lord has been praised in the effort. Is there a number?